Okay, so let's dive into all these articles you sent over about AGI.
Artificial general intelligence.
Right, AGI.
Yeah.
And it seems like you want to go way beyond like just the technology and really think about how AGI could like totally reshape everything, you know, economics, politics, even like what it means to be human.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got some really interesting stuff here.
Yeah.
The precipice of transformation, some pieces on modern monetary theory,
Sure.
MMT,
Wow.
and even one called Uncle Sam's Psychopathy,
Yeah.
which honestly sounds a little intense.
It is a very provocative title for sure, but it definitely grabs your attention, right?
Yeah.
And I think what I find so intriguing is this focus on the implications of AGI, not just the tech itself. You
Yeah.
know, it's like you're really trying to figure out how we can steer this whole thing towards a human-centric future.
Exactly, because all these sources seem to agree that AGI is coming and it's coming fast, like maybe even just months away. The precipice of transformation even talks about DeepSeek R1, this new open source AI model.
Yeah, that was a big surprise, I think, to a lot of people.
It feels like a real turning point.
It does. The fact that DeepSeek R1 came out so soon after that similar model from OpenAI, it just shows you how fast things are moving. It's like we've hit this steep part of the curve now. We're entering a whole new world, and the old ways of thinking just aren't going to cut it anymore.
Okay, so AGI is practically here now. What these sources paint these two very different pictures of what this could look like. Almost like a fork in the road. On the one hand, there's this utopian vision of AGI like solving climate change, curing diseases, bringing in a new golden age for humanity.
Yeah, like a true technological utopia, right? Imagine AI helping us solve like the biggest problems we face. You know, disease, poverty, environmental destruction, all potentially solved with the help of super intelligent machines. It's exciting stuff.
It is exciting. But then there's that flip side, the dystopian scenario. You know, mass unemployment, all the wealth and power are concentrated in the hands of just a few people. And that quote from L. Rudolf L. about the extinction of ambition for most humans, like that's chilling.
It is a stark warning. You know, if AI can outperform us in most jobs, what happens to human labor? What happens to our sense of purpose? You know, our drive to achieve and create? And that's where I think that Uncle Sam's Psychopathy piece, even though it's super provocative, it really makes us think about whether our current systems are even capable of handling this kind of shift. Like, are we set up to deal with this?
So it's not just about the technology itself. It's about the choices we make right now to shape how that technology impacts the world.
100%.
And humanity in the age of AGI really pushes for this radical human-centric approach.
It does. It's not about just tweaking things around the edges. It's about totally reimagining our economic and political system. It lays out this whole vision where UBI, a job guarantee, public banking, democratic control over resources like AI.
Whoa, hold on.
All of it.
That's a lot. UBI, I kind of get, like, everyone gets a basic income no matter what. But a job guarantee in a world where robots are doing most of the work, how does that even make sense?
I know it sounds counterintuitive, right?
And how does public banking fit into all of
Well,
this?
the author argues that the whole system we have now, with its focus on endless growth and competition, it just won't work in a post-AGI world. We need a system that puts human well-being first. And that means rethinking some really fundamental assumptions.
Okay, so let's start with the job guarantee then. How does that even make sense when AI could potentially automate away most jobs?
It's less about guaranteeing a traditional job and more about guaranteeing purpose, a way for everyone to contribute to society. You gotta remember, in this future, AI might be doing a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of production and efficiency.
Okay, so what kind of jobs are we even talking about here? We all going to be poets and philosophers.
Not necessarily. It's not really about specific job titles. It's more about creating opportunities for people to engage in meaningful work, whether it's ecological restoration, community development, artistic expression, you know, scientific research, caring for others. The possibilities are pretty vast.
Okay, I'm starting to see the vision a little bit. But what about the public banking part? How does that tie into a human-centric AGI future?
The author argues that we need to completely rethink how money is created and managed.
Mm.
They point to modern monetary theory, or MMT,
okay.
as a way to understand how governments can use their spending power to create jobs, fund essential services, and make sure everyone has a basic standard of living.
Okay, MMT, I've heard of that. But remind me, doesn't the government have to be fiscally responsible, balance the budget and all that?
That's the conventional wisdom, right?
Right.
But MMT challenges that. It argues that governments that control their own currency,
like the U.S. with the dollar.
Exactly. They don't have to worry about running out of money the way individuals or businesses do.
Wait, are you saying that governments can just print money whenever they want?
That sounds a little dangerous, right?
I guess.
But it's not about just printing money recklessly.
Okay.
MMT emphasizes that the real limits are inflation.
Right.
And the availability of real resources.
Okay.
Like materials, labor energy, and so on.
Hmm.
The idea is that if there are unemployed people and unused resources the government can spend to put them to work without causing runaway inflation.
Okay. That's starting to make a little more sense.
Yeah.
But how does this all connect to public banking?
So imagine a system where the government, through public banks, has more direct control over the creation and allocation of money instead of relying on private banks to lend money into existence.
Right, which is how it works now.
Exactly. The government could directly fund public goods and services, invest in green technologies, support small businesses, even provide a universal basic income.
So it's about shifting the power dynamics
yeah.
in the financial system,
hmm?
Giving the public more control over how money is used.
Exactly.
But wouldn't that be met with huge resistance from, like, the powers that be?
Oh, absolutely. Uncle Sam's psychopathy really digs into some of those deep-rooted issues within the U.S. system that could make this kind of radical change really tough.
Yeah, that title really doesn't hold back.
No, it doesn't.
What are some of the biggest obstacles it highlights?
Well, the author argues that the U.S. system is in many ways fundamentally opposed to this kind of human-centric future that humanity in the age of AGI is talking about.
Okay.
They point to the grip of neoliberal ideology,
mm-hmm.
which prioritizes free markets and individualism above all else.
Yeah, I can see how that would clash with the idea of a strong public sector and a focus on collective well-being.
Exactly.
But are there other roadblocks besides just ideology?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The author also talks about the power of entrenched interests.
Right.
The military-industrial complex, big tech, Wall Street, all these groups that are deeply invested in maintaining the status quo.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Those are powerful forces, and they're not going to give up their control easily.
Nope. And then there's another layer to this, the decline of the West's global dominance.
Okay.
The author argues that the U.S. in particular is so focused on holding on to its power that it's become resistant to the kind of fundamental changes that a post-AGI world might demand.
So it's like they're so busy fighting to maintain their grip on the present that they might completely miss the boat on the future.
Exactly. And that brings us to this really important idea. The dream time.
The dream time? What's that all about?
The author of The Precipice of Transformation uses this term to describe this limited window of opportunity we have to shape the AGI revelation.
Okay.
It's like this time when things are still fluid, the possibilities are open.
Right.
We can still dream big and make bold choices.
So it's a critical turning point.
Yeah.
A moment of possibility before things get locked into a particular path.
Exactly. But the author warns that this dream time is closing fast.
Okay, now I'm getting a little nervous.
Yeah.
So if we want to avoid that dystopian scenario
right.
and create this human-centric AGI future, what needs to happen?
The author is very clear. Incrementalism is not going to cut it.
Okay.
We need bold action. We need to reject the old ways of thinking, challenge the status quo, and demand a new model that puts human well-being at the center.
Okay, that sounds good in theory, but what does that actually look like in practice?
Well, they outline a bunch of key areas for action. We've already talked about some of them, like the job guarantee and public banking.
Right.
But there's another really important element. They discuss central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs.
CBDCs. I've heard that term, but I'm still a bit fuzzy on what they are and how they fit into all of this.
Okay, so imagine a digital version of the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Issued directly by the government.
Okay.
Not by private banks. That's a CBDC.
So it's like a government-backed cryptocurrency.
Kind of, but it wouldn't be decentralized like Bitcoin.
Right.
The idea is that the central bank would control the issuance and regulation of the CBDC.
It feels like a public option for money.
Exactly.
Interesting. So how does this all tie into creating a human-centric AGI future?
While the author argues that CBDCs could be a powerful tool for democratizing finance, giving governments more control over the money supply, and enabling them to implement policies like a universal basic income more effectively.
So instead of relying on private banks to create money through lending, the government could directly inject money into the economy to fund public goods, create jobs, support people's basic needs.
Exactly. It's about shifting that balance of power away from those private financial institutions and towards the public good.
Okay. But this brings us to a really important discussion about the potential implications of CBDCs.
Yeah.
Both the good and the bad.
Sure.
And how they could reshape the whole financial landscape in a post-AGI world.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm definitely intrigued. This is getting really interesting.
Yeah. It's a big topic.
But maybe we can pause here for a moment and dive into that CBDC discussion in more detail in the next part.
Sounds good.
It feels like a topic that deserves its own deep dive.
I agree. We'll dig into how CBDCs work, explore their potential benefits and risks, and consider how they could interact with these other key elements of this human-centric vision, like the job guarantee and public banking.
Great. We'll take a short break and come back to explore the fascinating world of CBDCs in more detail.
Sounds great. So picking up where we left off, let's dive into CBDCs, those central bank digital currencies.
Okay.
Remember, we're talking about this world on the brink of AGI,
right,
where we might need some pretty radical shifts in our economic and political systems to create a human-centric future. And you were saying that CBDCs could be a big part of that transformation,
right,
potentially giving governments more control over the money supply.
Yeah.
And making it easier to implement things like a universal basic income. So imagine a digital dollar issued and regulated directly by the Federal Reserve, not by private banks. That's essentially what a CBDC is.
There's like a public option for money.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued, but I also have like a million questions.
Uh-huh.
For starters, how would this actually work in practice?
Right.
Would we all have like digital wallets managed by the government?
There are a bunch of different models out there.
Okay.
But one common idea is digital wallets. Yeah.
Okay.
You could access them through your smartphone or maybe even a physical card linked to the central bank.
Great. Wow.
It's not necessarily about getting rid of cash altogether,
right,
but offering a more efficient and potentially more equitable alternative.
Okay. But wouldn't that give the government a lot of power?
Mm-hmm.
Like they could track every transaction we make.
That's one of the big concerns with CBDCs for sure.
Right.
Privacy. The precipice of transformation definitely acknowledges this risk.
Yeah.
And it emphasizes the need to design any CBDC system with strong privacy protections built in from the start.
But is that even possible?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, governments tend to love collecting data on their citizens.
It's a valid concern.
Yeah.
And this whole debate about privacy and security is going to be huge as CBDCs evolve.
Right.
Transparency and public oversight are going to be absolutely crucial.
Okay.
One idea is to create a system where the central bank can see the total amount of transactions, but not the specific details of who's paying whom.
Okay.
Unless there's a legitimate legal reason to investigate.
That sounds like a really tricky balance to strike.
It is.
But let's say we can figure out the privacy thing.
Okay.
What are the potential benefits of a CBDC system?
Right.
Especially in the context of this whole AGI revolution we're talking about.
One of the biggest benefits is that CBDCs could make payments faster, cheaper, and more secure.
Okay.
Imagine near instantaneous transactions with almost no fees.
Wow.
Even across borders.
Yeah.
This could be huge for international trade and aid.
That's a big deal, especially if we're talking about things like implementing a universal basic income on a global scale.
Exactly.
It would have to be efficient and secure to reach everyone who needs it.
Right.
Are there other potential upsides?
Oh, yeah, definitely. CBDCs could also help promote greater financial inclusion.
Okay.
Giving those who are currently unbanked or underbanked access to financial services.
Right.
Imagine being able to receive government benefits or pay bills without needing a traditional Roth account.
Yeah, that could be a huge step towards reducing poverty and empowering marginalized communities.
Absolutely.
Especially if AGI does lead to widespread job losses like some people are predicting.
Exactly. And this is where things get really interesting.
Okay.
This ties back to our earlier conversation about MMT and a post-AGI job guarantee.
Right.
A CBDC system could give governments a much more direct and powerful tool to manage the economy.
Okay, remind me again about the whole MMT concept.
Sure.
Kind of blew my mind a little bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, MMT argues that governments that control their own currency can spend more freely than we traditionally think.
Okay.
So are you saying that with a CBDC, the government could more easily implement those big policies like a job guarantee without causing runaway inflation?
It's definitely a possibility.
Okay.
With a CBDC, the government could directly inject money into the economy, funding things like public works projects, green infrastructure, or even directly paying people to do socially valuable work.
Okay.
And this bypasses the whole system of relying on private banks to create money through lending, which can be really unstable and often doesn't direct money to the areas where it's most needed.
So a CBDC could give governments more flexibility to respond to the economic and social challenges of AGI.
Exactly.
Like mass unemployment or the need to reskill millions of workers.
Right. It's about giving them the tools to act quickly and decisively.
Okay.
To potentially head off some of those dystopian scenarios we were talking about earlier. Right. But we can't forget about the potential downsides of CBDCs either.
No, definitely not.
Those privacy concerns we talked about are huge. And I can only imagine the pushback from the banking industry if governments actually try to implement a CBDC.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be massive resistance.
Right.
Uncle Sam's psychopathy really gets into that whole power dynamic.
Yeah.
The financial sector is not going to give up its dominance easily.
Right. So we're back to that tension between the need for radical change.
Yeah.
And the power of the status quo.
Exactly.
If we're serious about this human-centric future in the age of AGI, it seems like we're going to have to take on some pretty powerful forces.
It's a real David and Goliath situation.
Yeah.
But remember what the author of The Precipice of Transformation says, the dream time is closing.
Right.
This is the moment to demand bold action, to reject those incremental solutions and fight for the future we want.
Okay, so we've talked about the good and the bad of CBDCs. And it seems like they could be a really powerful tool for shaping the post-AGI world.
Yeah, for better or for worse.
Exactly. But what about those other parts of this human-centric vision we were discussing? The job guarantee, public banking, democratic control over resources like AI?
Yeah.
How do all of these pieces fit together?
They're all interconnected.
Okay.
They create kind of an ecosystem for a more just and equitable society.
Right.
The job guarantee makes sure that everyone has the opportunity to contribute and earn a living.
Right.
Even if traditional jobs are scarce, public banking gives governments a more direct way to finance public goods and services, invest in green technologies, support small businesses, and then democratic control over resources, including AI. Make sure that these powerful technologies are used for the benefit of everyone.
Right, not just a select few.
Exactly.
It's a really compelling vision.
It is.
But it requires a massive shift in thinking. Like, we need to be willing to challenge the fundamental assumptions of our whole system.
Absolutely. It's about moving beyond that old neoliberal paradigm, you know, endless growth and competition, and embracing a model that puts human well-being, ecological sustainability, and collective flourishing at the forefront.
It sounds like we're talking about a complete societal transformation.
Yeah, but a real paradigm shift.
But where do we even begin?
Right.
How do we turn these big ideas into concrete actions?
That's the million-dollar question.
It is.
Humanity in the age of AGI talks about the need for collective action.
Okay.
Building a movement that goes beyond those traditional political divides and brings people together around this shared vision of a better future.
So it's more than just voting for the right candidate or supporting a particular policy.
Right. It's bigger than that.
Yeah.
It's about a fundamental shift in consciousness.
Okay.
Recognizing that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And we have the power to shape the future.
So it's about reclaiming our agency.
Yes.
Demanding accountability from those in power. And building a more democratic and participatory system that reflects the values of this human-centric future.
100%.
This is all super inspiring.
Yeah.
But I got to be honest. I'm also feeling a little overwhelmed.
I get it.
It feels like such a huge task.
It is a daunting challenge.
Yeah.
But like the author of The Precipice of Transformation says, we have a choice.
Okay.
We can either just give in to apathy and resignation.
Right.
Let the future be shaped by those who only care about profit and power.
Hmm.
Or we can choose to believe in the power of human ingenuity, compassion, and collective action to create a world where everyone can thrive.
It's a powerful message. Choosing hope over fear, action over apathy.
Exactly.
But how do we actually translate that hope into real change?
Right.
What are the specific steps we can take to move towards this human-centric future?
Well, humanity in the age of AGI offers some practical guidance. They talk about the importance of education, organization, and mobilization.
Mm-hmm.
First, educate yourself, learn about the issues, understand the different perspectives, and be able to explain why a human-centric future is so important.
Okay.
Knowledge is power, especially when you're trying to change things.
Right. We can't just bury our heads in the sand and pretend this isn't happening.
Exactly. We need to be informed and engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next step is to connect with others who share your concerns.
What?
Join or start a group. Participate in online discussions. Get involved in your local community.
Yeah.
Collective action is essential if we want to create real change.
There's that word again, radical.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It seems like the author is really calling for a radical transformation.
They are.
Not just a few tweaks here and there.
Right. And that radicalism isn't just about policy changes.
Oh.
It's about a fundamental shift in our whole mindset.
Right.
It's about rejecting the idea that endless growth and competition are the only ways to progress, or that the market can solve everything.
Yeah. Or that technology is always a good thing.
So it's about questioning our assumptions.
Yes.
Redefining what success even means.
Mm-hmm.
Imagining a world that puts human well-being first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what's so exciting about it.
Yeah.
It opens up all these possibilities.
Right.
It lets us imagine a world where work isn't just about earning a living,
mm-hmm.
but about contributing to something bigger.
Yeah.
Where technology serves humanity.
Right.
Not the other way around.
It is Zach.
Where everyone has the chance to live a meaningful life.
It's a beautiful vision.
It is.
But I still have so many questions.
Sure.
How do we deal with the inevitable pushback from those who benefit from the system we have now?
Right.
How do we overcome the inertia of these big institutions and these old ways of thinking?
Mm.
And maybe most importantly, how do we make sure that this vision of a human-centric future doesn't just stay a dream?
Yeah. How do we actually make it happen?
Exactly.
Those are all really important questions.
Yeah.
And there are no easy answers.
But I think the key is remembering that the future isn't set in stone. It's something we create through our choices.
Right.
And our actions.
So you're saying the future isn't something that just happens to us.
Right.
It's something we actively shape.
Exactly. It's an ongoing process of negotiation, experimentation, adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the challenges are huge,
yeah,
so is the potential for positive change.
Right.
Just the fact that we're having this conversation right now,
yeah,
that people are thinking about these issues and imagining different futures,
mm-hmm.
that's a sign of hope.
Okay. I'm feeling a bit more optimistic now.
Good.
But I think we need to get into the practical side of things a bit more.
Sure.
What are the actual steps we can take as individuals and as a society to make this human-centric future real?
Okay.
How do we move from ideas to action?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And I think it's the perfect way to transition into the final part of our deep dive. We've explored the challenges and the possibilities, potential problems, and the inspiring visions. Now it's time to talk about what we can actually do to build the future we want.
Okay.
This is where it gets real.
Okay. So we've talked about a lot on this deep dive.
We have.
The potential of AGI to like completely change the world,
mm-hmm.
the urgent need for radical action to ensure a human-centric future, and those big, bold ideas like UBI, a job guarantee, public banking, and CBDCs.
All potential tools.
Yeah, that could help us get there. But now I really want to know, what can we actually do to make this vision a reality?
Jet's the big question. And I think humanity in the age of AGI gives us some really good guidance. You know, the author keeps saying the future isn't something that just happens to us.
Right.
It's something we create
through
our choices and actions, both individually and collectively.
So it's about taking ownership, you know, recognizing that we're not just passengers on this ride into the future.
Exactly. And the first step, as the author says, is education. We need to understand these issues, really grapple with them, and be able to explain why a human-centric future is so important.
Mm.
Knowledge is power. Especially when you're trying to challenge the way things are.
Right. We can't just sit around and wait for someone else to fix things.
Yep.
We need to be informed and engaged if we want to have a say in shaping the future.
Absolutely. And once we've kind of done our homework, the next step is to connect with others.
Yeah.
Find people who share your concerns, you know, online or in person, people who are passionate about building a better future.
There's power in numbers, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's harder to ignore a movement than it is to ignore a single voice.
100%. Collective action is crucial. You know, this could be joining existing organizations,
Mm-hmm.
participating in protests, or
Wow.
even just talking to friends and family about these issues.
Yeah.
It's about raising awareness, getting people talking, and building a movement that demands change.
So we need to move beyond just individual actions and get into the realm of collective action.
Exactly.
Building a movement that can actually challenge those in power.
Yes. And humanity in the age of AGI talks about some key areas where we can focus this collective action.
Okay.
Like advocating for specific policies, things like UBI, a job guarantee, public control of resources like AI.
Right.
This could mean contacting your elected officials,
yeah,
signing petitions,
oh,
supporting organizations that are pushing for these changes, or even running for office yourself.
So getting involved in the political process.
Yes.
Using our voices and our votes to demand a better system.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's also about thinking beyond traditional politics.
Okay.
The author talks about building alternative systems, creating parallel structures that reflect the values of a human-centric future.
What kind of alternative systems are we talking about here?
Think about things like worker-owned cooperatives,
okay,
community-owned renewable energy projects, time banks where people exchange skills and services directly, or even those decentralized platforms for managing resources and making decisions together.
So creating like little pockets of the future in the present,
yeah,
showing that there are other ways of doing things.
Exactly. Demonstrating that it's not just a utopian dream, but a real possibility.
Right.
And as these alternative systems grow and connect, they can start to challenge the dominance of those old structures.
It's a powerful idea.
It is.
Almost like planting seeds,
mm-hmm,
that can grow into something much bigger.
Exactly. But I do wonder, is it really enough?
Yeah.
I mean, the forces we're up against are huge.
Right.
These entrenched interests, the whole neoliberal ideology, the inertia of the system, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But humanity in the age of AGI reminds us that throughout history, even seemingly impossible changes have happened when people have come together to demand a better world.
So it's about believing that change is possible even when it feels really hard.
Exactly. And that belief, that sense of hope, is a powerful thing. It can fuel our actions, inspire others, create real momentum that can overcome even the strongest resistance.
That's a really inspiring thought. But I think it's important to remember that this isn't just about feeling good.
Right.
It's about taking real, concrete actions.
Yes.
Organizing, strategizing, and building power.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being willing to challenge the status quo, even when it's uncomfortable or scary.
Absolutely. You're right. It's not just about wishing for a better future.
Why?
It's about actively working to create it. And humanity in the age of AGI gives us some practical advice on how to do that.
Okay. Like what?
One thing they talk about is building bridges.
Yeah.
Finding common ground with people who might not agree with us on everything.
Right.
But who also see the need for change.
So connecting across political and ideological divides.
Yeah.
Building coalitions that are strong enough to make a real difference.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
That the challenges of AGI affect us all.
Yeah.
And that we need to find ways to work together if we want to create a future that works for everyone.
I'm feeling a sense of possibility now.
Good.
A sense that we're not just powerless bystanders.
Right.
In the face of these huge technological changes.
Exactly.
We have agency, we have choices, and we have the power to shape the future.
That's the key takeaway, isn't it? The future isn't predetermined.
Mm.
It's something we create together through our actions and choices.
Right.
And even though the challenges are massive, so are the possibilities.
Well, this has been an amazing deep dive.
It has.
We've explored how AGI could both uplift and destroy humanity.
Right.
The urgent need to take radical action to create a human-centric future and the power of collective action to build the world we want.
Yeah, it's been a really fascinating conversation, and I hope it's left you feeling informed, inspired, and ready to take action.
Absolutely. And to everyone listening out there, don't let this be the end of the conversation. Keep learning, keep questioning, keep connecting with others, and keep pushing for a future where humanity can thrive. The dream time might be closing, but the dream itself is far from over. It's just getting started.